Me, Brian Wakefield.
So, Brian, how are you?
Very good, thanks, matey. Very good.
Good.
Yeah, a bit chilly for my liking, but we're sitting here in a nice, cosy, warm studio, so that's good.
Why don't you introduce our guest for today as well, if you wouldn't mind?
Yeah, we've got a guest as well, haven't we? So, who have we got today, Joe?
We've got Joe from Origin Computer Training in the house.
Oh, excellent. Computers and training, all in one go.
I know, steady on there.
Joe, thank you so much for joining us today. It's great to have you in the studio. We've got lots to talk about. We're going to have the whole sort of second half of the show to talk about IT training and productivity. And I know you've got a really exciting academy.
Yeah, definitely.
That you're launching as well. So that's all really, really good news. And in fact, today is all about positivity, isn't it, Brian?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we're going to try and avoid Brexit and or traffic.
Well, we were going to, but you've just gone and put your foot in it.
No more, though. No more.
Please, no more.
Two warning words never to be mentioned again.
I think it's fair to say that everybody's had a gutful of all of that. So we're not going anywhere near that today. This is all about positivity. And I want to start on a positive, Brian, because Joe and I were both at the launch of your latest BBN networking group last Friday.
You? Yes, you were, weren't you? Yeah, there were so many people in the room, I almost missed you both.
And you picked on me as the first person to do the 60 seconds, which I couldn't believe, Joe. I was deliberately looking away.
Yeah, but that's where you went wrong, Martin.
Yeah, you can't look away and you can't look at me, so...
always a slightly nerve-wracking thing to be asked to step up and do first at a new group, but it was really good, wasn't it, Brian? It was a great, really good atmosphere on the day.
Thanks, Martin. Yeah, I felt so. I mean, the reason that I chose you was because we had lots and lots and lots of new people there, lots of people that I hadn't met, lots of mates and businesses, and one or two people that had never done a networking event before. Yeah. So I thought, shall we really drop them in at the deep end and put them on first? Mm. No. Decided
would
against
it. Would have been a bit
cruel,
wouldn't it, Joe?
Well, I think so, yeah.
Pick on somebody like that.
Scared the life out of them. They may never have come back. But I thought we need an old pro to kick off with, and you tick both of those boxes,
well, thanks,
Martin.
Mate.
So you got the prize.
Yeah, you certainly led the group from the start.
Oh, thank you, Joe.
That's
well,
it. Yeah,
for those of you out there who don't know what BBN is, you might be a networker, but perhaps you haven't attended a BBN meeting. Just tell us what's BBN all about, Brian?
Yeah, BBN's a relatively new group. We kicked off at Dartford Football Ground in May of last year, and then followed it up with a bit of a theme, Bromley Football Ground. Maidstone is our third, so it's a hat trick. So they're all fortnightly business breakfast meetings, and really it's about helping each other in the room. It's about referring people, recommending people. There are no rules and regs on that, so it's done on a very kind of casual basis, really. Helping each other, collaboration, and having a bit of fun while we're doing business as well, and a damn good breakfast.
So it doesn't follow some of the kind of the rigid process that some networking meetings have necessarily, but what you do, you know, talking from first-hand experiences, you run a tight ship. I mean, you know, you have to keep people to 60 seconds max, otherwise you wouldn't get round the room. There's 50-odd people in the room. Mm. You still have a 10-minute presentation, so people have the opportunity to talk about their business in a bit more detail. But the thing that I particularly like about it is I call it a sort of pay-as-you-go meeting.
Mm. Yeah.
Because that, for me, is what it is, you know. I mean, we all know that you need to be seeing people regularly in order to build relationships. But, you know, I don't need to be told to do that or feel kind of
boxed in.
Exactly, beholden to do that, because I've paid a membership fee to be part of a membership group. You know, the onus is on me to turn up and make that happen every week. And people don't need to be coerced into that through the fact that they've paid an exorbitant fee, I don't think.
Yeah, I agree. And also, I think you can't really have instances of the tail wagging the dog, who's working for who, really. It's very much you're trying to do the best you can for the members and the people in the room.
Yes.
And you must keep hold of that, really. Whereas some groups, I think they're actually working for them, for the organiser.
Actually, that rings true, certainly.
Yeah, definitely, I agree with that.
So, well done. Great first launch meeting. Now, as ever, it's proven to be more popular perhaps than you envisaged in the kind of the first instance. So what's the best way for people to get involved with BBN? You know, how do I let you know that I'd like to come to Dartford or Bromley or Maidstone? How do we get in touch with you?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, because I kind of forewarned the venue as well as people that a good networking group takes a while to get going and to build up. That was the very first meeting, as you say, and to hit the ground sprinting, really, with 50 people in the room. And they're pretty much, there's probably a database of about 70-odd businesses, because not everybody does every meeting, but there, every meeting, there are two meetings this year that aren't sold out there now. Dartford, you mentioned, is sold out for the whole year. However, that can change, and with a new group, there are one or two that may not like it or may not fit in. So spaces will come available through the year. So in the first instance, they should go online and take a look at bbnetworking.co.uk, and then they will have to actually ring me. I know that's a dying trend, actually ringing people up and speaking to people and having a conversation, but we do still do that. You can't just book in online, because I don't know who you are. It might not be right for you. You might not be right for the group. So we do have to have a conversation, and we'll get you in somehow. Mm. So all my details are on the website. I mean, Joe, obviously you were at BBN Maidstone on Friday. Was it good for you?
Yeah, it definitely was good for me. I mean, there was such a vast array of different businesses in the room. And yeah, as you say, it's just really about talking to people and just building relationships with people with a top-notch breakfast at the same time. So you can't really go wrong.
Good.
It was good, wasn't it?
Good.
I mean, that spread, there was everything there. It was,
and you could just pick and choose.
Yeah.
You know, what you want. I mean, what more can you ask for on a Friday morning?
Yeah, I know. What a start to the weekend almost. But yeah, very good atmosphere, very good vibe, great support, and can't wait to the next one.
Great. Well done. Nice, positive way to start the show this week. So yeah, congratulations.
Especially as it's Blue Monday, as they say. So
it is, isn't it?
Need all the positivity.
Yes,
today.
Blue Monday.
Oh,
yeah.
It is. Is it the saddest day of the year?
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah, I saw
apparently.
That.
So
we better tone it down a bit then. And
so we look forward to seeing you at a BBN networking event somewhere soon.
I'm next at BBN Maidstone on the 15th of February.
Right. Well, we'll see you then. Good. Good. Right. Brian, I know you wanted to talk about another really positive thing that's happening out in Kent at the moment, and that's business awards, isn't it?
Is it that time
of year already?
Yeah, it kind of is. There's the Keeber Awards that do actually take place on Thursday the 20th of June at the Kent County Showground. That seems an age away, doesn't it? It's kind of 6 months away or whatever. However, the closing date for entries is the 22nd of February. There is a process, the closing date for entries then. On the 15th of May, the finalists will be announced at Business Vision Live, which is something you and I and
exhibitor
a few hundred other people go to, which is at Detling Showground. The finalists will be announced then. So there's a bit of a process. So in that respect, June the 20th isn't that far away, but that's something going on. I mean, what's your feeling? Because in the past I've been not scathing, that would be too hefty, but slightly skeptical of business awards and the reasons, but this one looks a little bit different to me. What's your views, Martin?
Well, I think I think you're right. I mean, the question that you know, I would ask myself is, you know, why do I want to enter business awards? And I think for me, you know, being in business and managing a business is can be quite a lonely business. And when I've done it in the past, it's helped me to really kind of get some perspective on where the business started, where the business is now, and, you know, everything that's kind of gone on in between. So I found it quite a sort of motivational thing to do, if that makes sense.
Well, it should be. It should be motivational. Only one person can win each category,
exactly.
But there's nominations and there's being involved. There's the recognition that goes with it, isn't there? And the PR opportunities.
But more for me, sort of inside rather than necessarily being recognized outside, if that makes sense. So I think it's a great way to kind of take stock of how far you've come in business and to celebrate that yourself without necessarily expecting to, you know, for anybody else to kind of recognize that. So I personally, you know, when I've done it in the past, I found it quite motivating on that level. And you know, if you do happen to win an award and you can use it and get some PR out of it, then so much the better. But I think these are very much the standard, aren't they, in Kent, in terms of Kent Business Awards,
it's
the Keeper
pretty
Awards.
Much, yeah, the set of awards, the ones that most people look at. And I haven't attended as yet. That may well change now this year. Perhaps we'll have a table there, Martin,
yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah.
And take some clients and friends and what have you. But what I have seen with it, the process of judging and the panel, there are different people kind of sponsoring different categories and stuff like that, which is good because some of the things I've seen in the past aren't genuine awards, in my view, is that it's very much leaning to or biased towards someone, and the people that are kind of sponsoring that category, if you like, the winner, Kel Surprise, turns out to be either their biggest client or someone that they're trying to get as a client. So it just makes a whole lot a bit pointless.
You're right. I mean, let's just, you know, let's be open about it. And
yeah, be honest.
And frankly, you know, a bit of a money spinning exercise for the event organizer themselves.
Yeah.
As much as anything else. So yeah, I think these are certainly if you're going to do a business awards entry.
Do them properly. Yeah. And I must say what I've seen of these, they look good. I mean, good. Joe, have you any experience with awards nights and that kind of thing?
Just a couple in the past, but like you say, they have been kind of rigged. So the winner's kind of, it's a little bit rigged. So, yeah, like you say, it makes it all a bit pointless. Yeah. And, you know, when other companies out there are working, you know, just as hard, and, you know, they only deserve the recognition as well.
Yeah.
I agree.
Good. Well, good advice there. So just remind us, what's the closing date for entry?
Yeah, closing date for entries is the 22nd of February.
Okay, gosh.
Which is pretty much a month,
that's going to come round before we know it. Yeah.
Come round really quickly. Uh-huh. And then the finalists are announced at Business Vision Live at Detling on the 15th of May.
Okay.
And the awards night itself is Thursday, June the 20th.
Good. Well, we look forward to celebrating
almost the longest day of the year
with this year's winners later on in the summer then. Fantastic.
I'll tell you what, and I'll shut up on this one after this, but it's just something that put a wry smile on my face. I'm not going to mention one of those two words we mentioned earlier, but one of the sponsors, get this, is the European Union Development Fund.
Yes.
So yeah. I'll leave it there, shall I?
Yes. Well, while we're on that subject, and again, this isn't a negative, this is a positive, there is actually some fantastic grant funding out there at the moment that's being supplied by the European Regional Development Agency in the form of something called Business Boost, which you may have heard me talking about at networking meetings.
I like a boost. They're in a blue wrapper and it's chocolate on.
Well, there you go. Who doesn't?
Different boost.
Exactly.
Who doesn't like a boost, frankly, especially when it's free money, which is exactly what this is. So if you are a business out there in Kent this year and you are investing in your business to help grow your business, and that might be anything from you need a new website, perhaps with e-commerce functionality, or you're buying a new vehicle for your business to help you expand your business, or you need a new CRM system in your business to help you grow your business on that kind of core customer relationship level, then Southeast Business Boost might be for you. And they will fund anywhere from £1,000 up to £10,000 worth of qualifying expenditure on a kind of 30% basis. So, for example, if you were spending £33,000 in your business, you could qualify for a grant of up to £10,000. And the minimum grant, as I say, is £1,000. So you'd need to be spending £3,333 to qualify for that. But it is money that is available there. It is European money. So clearly, I would suggest when the program closes after this year, it may not be around again.
Get in there quick.
Exactly that. There's a very simple eligibility questionnaire you need to complete. You'll find that on the link for that on the Supply My Business community webpage. All of that information is published in there, along with some examples of how other businesses have used business grant funding. And I know one of our sister shows, Business Bunker, they had a lady on from the Milky Tea Company, didn't they?
Yes, last week.
And they make breastfeeding T-shirts, and they qualified for some grant funding through Southeast Business Boost. So if you think it might not be relevant for you, think again is what I would suggest. So, yeah.
I'm not going to comment
anything
on that.
Anything goes.
There's 27 different jokes I've got about that, and no, I'm not going to say
anything. No, you're not. Good. Right, so moving on. There's lots of other sort of networking going on as well, isn't there, Brian, that we should tell people about?
Yeah, always. Always bits and pieces coming up. Couple of things really for me. We spoke about Maidstone. We've got BBN Dartford this coming Thursday, the 24th, and then next Wednesday the 30th is BBN at Bromley. So all the details, as ever, are on the website. Going more towards the end of the month, there's a couple of things, both on the 30th, which is Gary Johnson's Network Kent, which is at the Bridgewood Manor on Wednesday the 30th. That's usually 10:30 to 12:30, just a very kind of open networking, coffee and some pastry things. That will cost you a tenner. And on the same day in the evening, 6 till 7:30 at Metro Bank in Maidstone, which is on the corner of Week Street, I think. They're doing a joint networking kind of after-hours type thing with the FSB. That's free. I'm not even sure you need to book. You can probably just turn up for that.
I think so.
So that's 6 to 7:30 on Wednesday the 30th at Metro Bank in Maidstone.
And I tell you, someone who will flit across all three on the day. In fact, there's another event happening here at Kent Space that evening as well, which is a free...
On that Wednesday,
okay. Which is a free networking and nibbles evening with Josephine McCartney, who is the CEO of the Kent Community Foundation, I believe.
Yeah.
She's going to be giving a talk that evening. But there's a serial networker and a good friend of ours, Roger Keach from the Let's Do Business Group. We all know Roger. He will no doubt be at Gary's event first thing in the morning at 10 o'clock, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah.
Then he'll be at the Maidstone FSB Metro Bank event first off. And then no doubt he will also show his face here towards the end of the evening as well.
So what time is the one here?
Well, it starts at 5:30, but it generally goes on till about sort of 8:30, something like that.
Oh, okay, so we might grab the last hour then.
Exactly, that's what he tends to do.
Yeah, he did that last time while I came down here. So
that is networking commitment for you. But they're all equally good events. And as I say, we our wonderful hosts at Kent Space always put on a lovely spread as well. So, So, again, we hope to see you at one of those.
Have you got any over on your side of the desk?
Well, I have. We should talk about a good friend of ours, Terry Botfield, who runs Create, similar to you, actually, Brian. He started a brand new business networking group down on Romney Marsh a couple of years ago called the Marsh Networking Group. And he runs coffee mornings and he does breakfasts as well. And actually, this Thursday at 7:45, he is hosting Marsh Networking over breakfast. And that's at the Ship Inn, actually, in Dymchurch, which is a lovely pub. And they always put on a great spread as well. So if you're perhaps more East Sussex-based or possibly on the Weald, or certainly if you're down on the Marsh, quite often it can be difficult to find a quality networking group nearby on your doorstep, can't it? I mean, I live down in deepest, darkest Thanet, so nothing's ever on my doorstep, so I'm used to travelling. But if you're in and around one of those areas, you know, quite a rural area, and you want some quality business networking, then Marsh
Networking... Get your wellies on and get on down.
Exactly. Marsh Networking Group is a great one. So Terry has all of his events published on Eventbrite. You'll also find that one on Supply My Business as well. But that's this Thursday, 7:45. down in Dymchurch. We should also mention another good friend of ours, Jay Sahota and Jarman Solicitors.
Ah, yeah. He does decent events in his offices in Sittingbourne, doesn't he?
Always puts on a quality networking. And he's got one coming up on Friday the 15th of Feb, so a little bit further ahead, which again he's running in conjunction with the FSB, and that's from 5:30. And obviously the last one he ran was all about Christmas and Christmas jumpers. Thank God that's all over, because let's face it, none of us look good in a Christmas jumper.
Yeah, my jumper fitted me before Christmas, but it didn't afterwards.
So this will be turn up wearing what you want. Again, it's 5:30 and it's Friday the 15th of Feb. And I think they probably like you to book onto that on Eventbrite or through our Supply My Business website, because they'd like a feel for numbers on that. Anything else?
Not on the networking on an event side.
What else have you got over there on your side of things?
Just a little bit of kind of news that just caught my eye, really. Wouldn't mind your input in it. Did you know that a year ago, so January 2018, credit card surcharges were actually abolished.
I remember you mentioning that.
So it became basically illegal for people to charge extra for if you wanted to pay for something on a credit card, which is great news, of course, because you want to book your holidays online and lots of other stuff, and that saves you a lot of money. However, there are certain businesses that are falling foul of that particular legislation, and they're still charging surcharges. And there was one business in particular that didn't call it a surcharge, but what they did was started to offer discounts to people if you didn't pay on credit card and if you paid by some other means. So of course they got had up, because it's exactly the same thing in that respect. It's like offering a discount or a surcharge for cards. So, and there's a lot of people saying that they weren't aware of it. So just wondered if anyone else had sort of had any examples or heard about that, or indeed was aware of it.
Yes.
Because businesses are saying not aware of it. How do you get this out and make sure they know?
Well, I mean, people like you, Brian, telling people about it. I mean, I'd completely forgotten, to be honest with you. I mean, one of my biggest bugbears, Joe, was always, you know, when you book a holiday and, you know, Virgin or whoever it was were charging you another 2.5%.
Or even 3% off in some cases.
For paying by credit card. Which
on a 3 grand holiday, it's
a lot of money.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
It adds up, extra costs.
But, of course, you tend to prefer doing that, because it gives you some reassurance that you're covered in the event of, you know.
Yeah, they go belly up.
Exactly.
You're covered, aren't you?
You know, credit cards tend to have a bit more sort of a
protection, don't they?
Protection on that level. It's thanks for reminding everybody about that.
I've forgotten about that.
It's
as
good
well.
To remember, yeah.
So the advice is that I did find out if you do get charged for that, you're perfectly within your rights to go back to that retailer and say, you can't actually do that, and I want that money refunded.
Yeah.
And they legally have to do so.
I suspect the reality of what's happened there is all these big firms have just built that additional cost that they're now going to have to put into their
pricing. They've added on somewhere, haven't they?
Yeah,
they've put your holiday up by another 200 quid or something.
So we're still paying for it. We're just not paying for it visibly anymore.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That's a nice
that
nice
just
item.
Caught my eye this week, really.
Well, thanks for that, Brian. That's really good. We've had a couple of tweets from people.
Good.
So another good friend of ours, Move It Man.
Oh,
Wesley.
Good old Wes.
Wes.
I like to move it.
He's tuned in. So thanks, Wes. Great to see you again at Maidstone last Friday. We've also had a tweet from Joanne Frey, who is now an IT account manager for Select Tech. So, hi, Joanne. Nice to see you. I haven't seen you networking for a while. In fact, the last time I saw you was probably here with Anna Wilkinson. You know, you must know Anna.
Do you know, I was just going to say, I don't know.
They were doing a GDPR presentation. It was a sort of an IT.
If I've been to BBN, I probably don't know.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you know Anna. they were doing, on the night, they were doing a sort of a joint insurance / GDPR presentation. So, Joanne, we may well see you here at Kent Space next Wednesday if you're around again.
Okay.
Be nice to catch up again. So, yeah. Do you know what I think we're going to do now?
What are we going to do now,
Marty? Well, we're going to test whether or not the auto play button has in fact
your
been fixed.
Your technology skills.
On my desk here.
Which and may be a good lead in to Joe, but I'm sure you can find a better link than that.
We're going to play a bit of tunage, so let's see if people can kind of guess the relevance here. It's a little bit tenuous, this one, isn't it? But anyway, here we go. Let's have a go. Welcome back, everybody. I think we've had quite enough of that 80s kind of throwback there. Was it 80s or 90s?
Never. You can never have enough of that, Whitey. Never. Can you, Joe?
No, love that track.
I'm trying to remember which film that was. Was that the big Russian guy?
So
or was
got
that
no chance of
Mr.
getting
T.
the link, have you?
It was Mr. T,
that's
it?
The A-Team. That's the A-Team. Completely different programme. Well, that was a film. That was the theme tune to Rocky.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, you see, I'm one step ahead of you because Mr. T was one of his opponents in that film, wasn't it, this film?
But no, not the first one. That was...
No, but this was Rocky III. I think it was Mr. T. He was his opponent, wasn't it?
Can't remember what numbers. But anyway, you're asking me what the link is.
Yes, I am.
So yeah. I'll tell you.
Go on then.
The link in my mind, anyway. Yeah. It might not be everybody else's, but basically the vision there of him training by the old guy that was his manager and trainer that died, sadly. And he was running up the steps to that big place and while he was training him. So he was training.
Right, training.
I haven't
was
got
the
to
link.
Say training too
Joe,
many more times,
I'm,
have I?
I'm
for
so
you to get
sorry you've had to put up with this nonsense, Joe. That's got to be the most tenuous link we've had so far on this
I'm
show.
I'm forgetting that Joe's here and she would have got it immediately, whereas I've got to take an hour and a half to explain it to you. But yes, it's a training.
You
link.
Also need to gen up on your Rocky films, my friend. You know,
I'll go home immediately and watch them all back to back.
Yeah, some of the listeners, though, might not be even in the air.
Well, there is that. Yeah, it's very true, actually.
So, Jo, welcome again.
Hello.
Origin Training.
Yes.
So tell me, what exactly do Origin Training do, apart from training, obviously?
Well, we specialise in Microsoft software training for businesses in Kent, Sussex and surrounding areas.
Okay, perfect. So anyone that's needing to upskill their employees, for example, or perhaps themselves as a business owner,
can come
to you and say, I'm rubbish at PowerPoint.
Yeah.
Can you help me?
Yeah, we sure can. Book you onto a course or any number of employees and hopefully increase your staff's productivity levels.
Right. Because that's what it's all about, really, isn't it? Rather than fumbling around not knowing how to kind of use an application, whether it's Word or Excel or PowerPoint, or I guess there's others as well, Outlook, crucially.
Outlook, Project Visio. I mean, I don't know. I've done it in the past. How many hours do you spend trying to do something and you're scratching your head, you're using Google, and before you know it, you've lost the whole day.
Yes.
You really haven't achieved a lot.
And not just your day necessarily, Brian, because what you end up doing invariably is tapping your colleague on the shoulder and saying, can you just show me how this works?
Can you help that? And then,
and then it's their day gone as well, isn't it?
So that's it. So, I mean, we've got portable equipment. We can travel anywhere in the southeast. We can come into your business or we can set up a venue nearby. We're really quite flexible on that front.
Okay, brilliant. So you can actually go into a business on the day and say, look, you know, we'll use your meeting room. We'll run the training from there, in-out sort of thing.
Yeah.
Minimum of fuss and upheaval.
Yeah, it's as simple as that, really. Uh-huh. You know, you give us some, you know, how many people you want on train. We'll just come in, set up a room and, it's done.
And what about if I wanted to do that, if I wanted to put staff through, it's so fashionable these days to do online training, isn't it? You know, if you're having to kind of, I don't know, pass a course on health and safety or you know, that kind of thing, you can log in and do online. Do you provide online training as well?
We don't at the moment.
Right.
The thing we find with obviously specialist in-house training is questions can be answered straight away. And we can even use them as problem-solving sessions.
Yes.
Whereas obviously if you're doing an online course, you don't necessarily have that information or answers to hand from an expert trainer. You quite often have to ask a question to a tutor, and then it's days or even, you know, sometimes weeks before you get an answer back, or even sometimes you don't even get that support. You just have gaps in your training.
I would agree with that, actually. I think online training for that sort of thing, I'm struggling to kind of see how that would work, and it'd be very kind of sterile, I think. I mean, with you, there's going to be interaction and
ask
questions as you go along, not only with you but maybe other people in the room and stuff like that is good. So do you have kind of courses that people can book onto, as it were, or is it all bespoke stuff?
A lot of it is bespoke. Obviously, we have our main sort of structured one-day courses, sort of word
you're doing
introductory.
A PowerPoint one tomorrow, aren't
we
you?
We have got a PowerPoint at our offices tomorrow, which I've enrolled myself onto, actually, because I haven't used PowerPoint since about 2003.
Right.
And obviously, you know, with Microsoft, every few years they come out with updates and new products, and then suddenly there's new buttons and, you know, they change the way they do things.
Does part of your training involve helping business owners see the light when it comes to presenting on PowerPoint? Because the number of PowerPoint presentations, in fact, I can't actually remember ever seeing a PowerPoint presentation go smoothly, either from a technical point of view, you know, and it might be the kind of the remote control that changes the slide, or, you know, from a presenting point of view. So many people think they should approach a PowerPoint presentation by putting everything they want to say up on a slide and then reading from it.
Which is absolutely opposite to how you should present.
It just doesn't work, does it?
It should be. You might as well just do a load of flyers and hand them around, basically, as takeaways And a lot of people, I think, do make that mistake, is do not have a slide up there and then proceed to read it.
It's like standing up at a networking meeting, like we were talking earlier, and reading a 60 seconds from a script.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't work,
it doesn't work. No.
And we all get nervous, but ultimately, if you're going to use the tool like that, you know, you need to kind of use it properly. So do you help people understand the kind of the right context in, you know, and when and how to use it, or is it more to do with, you know, the actual setting up of a presentation, or both?
I would say it's more to do with the setting up of the presentation, but you know, our trainers are all skilled, and you know, if need be, they would point in the direction of, well, actually it's a good idea to do this, or go about it in a certain way. But yes, initially the training on just, you know, how to use the PowerPoint software. Yes.
And in particular, you know, it's getting, as you say, it gets more and more sophisticated every year. Microsoft bring out new versions of all these applications the whole time. You know, things like embedding video and autoplay and stuff like that. You know, it's actually quite, you really need to know how to do that in order to avoid making a fool of yourself on the day when something doesn't work.
I mean, the thing with sort of internet or, you know, Googling or online training is it tells you how to do it, but you don't learn how to do it.
No.
With our training courses, you will learn how to do something, and, you know, that is kept in your mind.
Yeah. And Brian, you picked up on a really interesting point as well. You know, one of the sort of the sub-benefits, if you like, for want of a better word, is, you know, you get a group of people in the room together learning how to kind of solve a problem.
It's almost like a free networking event again, isn't it? In many ways, you're going to meet people that they're going to have different levels of ability. They're going to come from different walks of life.
But just
like
connecting
that
with your colleagues, you know, in a way that you don't normally get a chance to do.
Yeah, sometimes we're all so busy, you know, even at work in the same room with people.
Yes.
You know, it's nice to have a session where people can, you know, interact with each other and throw out different questions.
Because we all work so much in isolation now, don't we? It doesn't matter whether you're working in a business, you know, for somebody else, or running your own business. You know, you've got your head down and you're just kind of cracking on with stuff all day, aren't you? So nice to take people out of that kind of that day-to-day. And
obviously from a positivity point of view, because our day is all about positivity today, you know, it actually raises staff morale, because if they working for a company that want to invest in, you know, training their time, it's a big staff morale booster as well.
Yeah, I agree. What would be your sort of typical class size, would you say, Jo?
Probably about six to eight people in a session is ideal, really.
Is that the optimum for you, you think, because of the attention you can give to each?
Well, that's it. I mean, the more, you know, if we started going 10, 12 plus, you probably wouldn't get the content covered that you would need to in a day, and B, you wouldn't be able to spend as much time sort of answering questions, or, you know, just that one-to-one time with the people in the session. So we try to aim between sort of 6 to 8 people, and that's a really good size group.
But you've raised another really interesting point about, you know, it's not just the kind of the obvious benefit of now I know how to do something. It's, as you say, people need to feel valued in an organisation, don't they? And training is one of the key ways that you can actually, you know, recognise the value of your staff to your organisation. Otherwise, why would you invest in training for them?
Yeah.
And we all want to kind of, we all want to improve as individuals, don't we, on some level?
Yeah.
You know, whether it's kind of to run a more successful business, or to be better at your job, or to have a lower golf handicap. And the way to do that is to put your hand up and ask for help sometimes. And if it's offered to you on that basis, you know, as a kind of an obvious investment in you, then that's got to be a massive plus, hasn't it? I would have thought.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a lot of companies are actually now starting to get into staff development more. And obviously from a personal and staff development, you know, developing their employees further, as, you know, as part of the appraisal process.
Yeah.
And my view is it can only make, you know, the working life of people much better.
Yeah.
Because people go, they know what they're doing, you know, they can do stuff productively, and they can enjoy their jobs.
Yeah, so it's a win-win, really, isn't it? I mean, it helps your staff be more productive to help you make more money, and at the same time, you know, actually keeps them loyal to the business. And
staff retention as well. You know, if people feel valued, they're likely to stay with your company rather than go, well, actually, I'll look elsewhere. Mm. And then the company's got sort of recruitment costs as well to deal with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Massively so do you kind of have a set menu of training courses available?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we have all our training courses are available to look at on our website where you've got all the details of what the content is in the course. Mm. But what we do say is on the day, we can always tailor it specifically to the people in the room on the day, or we find out beforehand. So even though it is a structured course, it will will be a percentage of it that will be bespoke.
Well, the fact you're doing it in their offices, in their business, means that they can tailor it to however.
Yeah, if they've got a certain spreadsheet they want to work on the day, or, you know, it's not a problem for us.
I don't know why, but Brian, I've got pivot tables going around in my head in Excel the moment.
We do have a pivot table course available as well, just a pivot table.
I thought
there
was a cream available for those, but never mind.
That's a whole different language to Brian. I'm
a pivot table.
You can create your fancy charts and things.
Have you?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, just being able to pull data in to, you know, a spreadsheet, that, you know, basic stuff like that. If you haven't been shown how to do it and been guided through it, as you say, trying to work it out for yourself is not the easiest thing to do.
Yeah. And a lot of problems we find is obviously, you know, you go to work for a company, you're just shown.
Yes.
A very small area to work on a spreadsheet or Excel, and that's all you know. And then you're asked to maybe produce some reports or graphs and that. You don't know how to do that. Mm. So there's already gaps in the knowledge, which is where our modular training sessions can come in handy, where we do 1 to 2 hour workshops on certain topics, and that could be a real benefit to businesses as well.
So just give me an idea of cost on something like this. You said a maximum of sort of 8 people in a training session. What would that look like on a kind of a cost per head basis typically?
If you've got sort of 6 to 8 people, you'd probably be looking at around about £95 a head,
£100
a head, sort of ballpark figure.
Is that for a whole day course?
That's a whole day course,
That's good.
A couple of our technical courses, when you start going up to the level of visual basic application programming, some of the more technical stuff, the price does reflect, obviously, that a little bit more.
But, I mean, you know, part of our kind of raison d'etre as this show is to kind of help people collaborate and kind of come together. I mean, if I'm in a Kent Space kind of environment, for example, and I've got 3 people in my office, and actually my mate Joe down the corridor's got 3 people in his office, presumably we could kind of just pool our kind of staff on that level, couldn't we, and say, look, you know, we've got a meeting
come here
room.
Another day.
Exactly.
Yeah,
got a meeting room at Kent Space. Can you do us a training course for 6 people? And, you know, even my basic math tells me that actually to get 3 of my people trained is going to cost me £300. And you think, crikey, you know, that I couldn't spend my money more wisely than that, could I? Surely, you know,
definitely not.
£300 in terms of the productivity benefit that I'm going to see, plus all those kind of staff motivation kind of benefits we were talking about. It's a no-brainer, really, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I definitely think there's real scope for training out there at the moment.
Oh, definitely, absolutely.
Well, you have to. You just got to keep moving forward. Because standing still, you're going backwards, and it's use it or lose it. Because with a lot of those stuff, I've been, in years gone by, I've been on some incredibly expensive courses when I was in the PLC world and learnt some pretty whizzy stuff. Mm. But then you don't have to actually use it. So you come to try and do it 10 months later. Yes. Of course, you've forgotten it all. What a complete waste of time.
So maybe a little and often would be good advice as well for businesses.
Without a doubt.
Yeah,
make
definitely.
It part of your ongoing kind of commitment.
Yeah, I think so for staff appraisals and part of the process.
We're going to flip that on its head slightly in a minute, because I know you're launching also an IT training academy.
Yes, very exciting coming up.
So we'll flip that on its head slightly in a moment. But just tell me, how do people get in touch with Origin if they're interested in talking to you guys about, you know, getting some training in place?
Well, as Brian says, they can do it the old-fashioned way by picking up a phone and calling us. Or they can email into info@origintraining.com, or they can visit our website and fire back via our contact form on the website.
And you're also on the Twitter as well, aren't you? At Origin Training, is it?
At Origin Training on the Twitter as well. Good. Okay. And we're also on Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. So
good. All right.
On the Twitter. I love that.
And you're quite active, I know, on social media. So people are, you know, give Origin a follow. And even if it's not directly relevant now, it may well be in the future. So
definitely. Yeah.
Good. So moving on now to your IT training academy. So tell me a little bit about that. What's that all about? Because it's not necessarily targeting businesses with staff, is it?
No, it's a slightly different angle, but sort of over the last few months, we found that there's a kind of scope out there for sort of a brief overview on sort of Office 365 or just basic training for people in sort of your Word, Excel, PowerPoint.
Or Windows 10, would that
be? Or Windows 10, your Outlook even, because there seems to be a real gap in the market. So we're collaborating with BLIT Solutions.
Ben, who we know
Ben
well.
Leach.
Brian.
Which, yeah, everyone knows Ben, or they should.
He likes a bit of networking.
Yeah, if you go to networking, Ben is usually there.
It is one of his passions as well, I know. He loves the whole training thing. I think on a personal level, he gets a real buzz out of it as well. So
definitely. Mm. So we're looking to set up this IT academy, which is probably going to be one or two evenings a month, where people can pay a nominal fee, about £20-25, and just come in and have a couple of hours of training with us. Ben will do sort of more the IT hardware side, sort of cyber security and computery stuff. And then I'll come in and do a talk on a particular topic to do with the Microsoft software.
Yeah, brilliant. Because one of the things I'm running Windows 7 at the moment.
Yeah, likewise at home.
And of course, I think the support for Windows 7 is going to finish this year, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
So that's imminent. And, you know, looking at Windows 10, because I have obviously seen Windows 10 on people's desktops or laptops, whatever, and it's just a whole different world. And I'm thinking, crying, I'm going to have to get my head around this at some point, because it really does look fundamentally quite different, doesn't it?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I actually converted my laptop upgraded a couple of years ago to Windows 10, and I just couldn't deal with it at the time because it was so different. I actually reverted back to Windows 7.
Oh, yes. No.
Exactly.
Coward's way out.
Exactly. I know, but I am going to be forced into Windows 10, I think, this year. So
isn't that a horrible way to talk about it as well? But that's exactly the right word to use, forced into it.
Yeah, well, you know, aren't you? No pressure, but nobody will talk to you ever again about this, and there'll be no support.
We're totally beholden, aren't we, to these tech firms in terms of when they decide to change, you know, to upgrade or whatever it is, or stop support. You know, we have no choice but to move along with it.
Well, that's it. I mean, IT is just moving along at a fast pace at the minute. I mean, there's so many changes coming in, including 5G next year, and so you've really got to keep up the pace. And if you don't, you know, your business is just going to lose time and money.
It is worrying, because, you know, even relatively, you know, proficient people, and I mean, I'm relatively proficient on a computer. Even I'm sort of slightly daunted by the whole thing at times.
Yeah.
And you think, well, if you're losing me, then, you know, you're going to lose an awful lot more people. Yeah.
I don't think it helped with Windows 10 when it first came out. There were so many issues with it. And I know.
Talk about bad PR.
At least half a dozen people that probably lost their hard drive because of the Windows problem.
Well, Ben was a good case in point. You know, he'd stand up at a networking meeting, you know, telling people all the problems that Windows 10 were having, and patch that and everything else.
When did it come out? Maybe
years ago now, wasn't it?
Four years, maybe.
A few years ago, yeah.
It was. And the reason I asked that is because I'm sure I left it purposely for about a year. As tempted as I am to get the latest thing as soon as it comes out. But as you say, I kept hearing all these horror stories about it's going, and I thought, well, I'll just give it a swerve then and let them sort all that out. So I left it a good year or so before I upgraded. Yeah.
For that reason. Yeah. So you are a Windows 10 user.
Oh, of course.
And you're...
I'm in Maidstone, Martin, of course. We've got electricity and everything up there.
He's having a dig at my Planet Thanet route. Yeah. Okay, so you're totally comfortable with it?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. Well, I'd say totally, yeah. I kind of get by.
I mean, what worries me...
It's just getting used to it. I think the change.
So. But what worries me is the sort of the slightly older generation. I'm thinking about my parents, for example, who are in their 80s. And my dad has a computer at home and my mum has a tablet.
With XL2003 on it or something.
Well, exactly that, and the number of times I have to explain to my dad that, if he gets anything wrong in my email address, I'm not going to receive his email.
Mm. Yeah.
So even on that level, helping people understand how important it is to get everything exactly right.
Right.
But then you throw in a curveball like a new operating system where everything looks completely different.
Yeah, it's just going to throw a lot of people.
Well, it will. And there's an awful lot of people out there also who are, struggling with things like, I know Ben, for example, has Asperger's. And there's dyslexia.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all these other, things that people have to deal with as part of their daily lives. And really, the tech companies, they're not helping, are they?
No, definitely not. And this is where, Origin and Ben are going to come into play. And, we want to help people just overcome these changes and just give them some basic knowledge and background into the systems and software.
Well, I hope it goes well for you. I'm sure it will. I can see a community interest company being formed at some point because, there's some great funding out there for businesses like that, and you're doing it for all the right reasons. You're trying to help people.
Yeah, exactly. I don't really know much about Windows 10, I will be definitely getting
actually,
some training on
me
that.
Me too. So put that on first, and I'll be there as well. No, absolutely. Good.
It's like Watch with Mother, isn't it? For those of us old enough to remember that.
That's not me.
So, again, you're going to be presumably publicising the first event. It's going to be February, isn't it, that you launch?
We're looking towards the end of February at the moment, so we're just waiting for a confirmation of dates at the venue. And then, it will be sort of wheeled out over social media.
So. And we'll help you do that, obviously, as well. And so, just let us know soon as.
Yeah, we'll do.
And we'll help get the word out there. But what a brilliant thing to be doing. Yeah. So well done, you guys.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah. Brilliant. Brian, we've got 3 minutes of our show left today. So is there anything else that we wanted to just sort of cover off quickly?
Do you know what? I think we've been so efficient.
We've done it all. Well, I've got one thing, and it's another event. It's a very popular, slightly more relaxed networking lunch, this one. It's called Slopoff Friday, and Joe, I don't think I've seen you at one of these before. But
no, I have seen it advertised.
You've seen it advertised.
It has quite oftenly had a diary clash with me.
Yes,
so.
Okay.
I've seen the pictures, Joe, and they're not good.
Well, we've got Peter Allen just up the corridor, who may even be tuned in today. Hi, Pete, if you are, from Beresford's Accountants. Pete is a regular at Slopeoff Friday. The next one is the 1st of Feb. It's on a Friday.
I'm busy, sadly.
Okay, it's in Whitstable.
It's a Maidstone Day as well, but... We're in the morning and you're kind of afternoon onwards, aren't you?
It's at the Alamori restaurant, which is a Moroccan restaurant in Whitstable, this particular one. And I think it's about £25 for all you can eat, pretty much. So if you'd like to go along to that and network with some quality businesses down on the seaside, then the best person to get in touch with is Jewel Serkin, really, who runs her own show on this network called Scoff and Quaff. And it's run in conjunction with the FSB, as I say. So at Jewel Serkin on the Twitter, or the lovely Deb Smith at Carp Acacio, at Acacio Carp on the Twitter for Deb. So get in touch with one of those guys and they should be able to book you on. So,
yeah. Brilliant.
Look forward to seeing you at that. What else have we got happening? What's going on this week?
This week is
you're
apart
at Dartford.
From BBN Dartford on Thursday on the 24th.
I've been out the last couple of Fridays, so I'm looking forward to having a Friday of not networking this week. So
I'm on a driver awareness course on Wednesday, but I don't want to mention that.
Oh.
How on earth did you manage to pick up a speeding ticket with these roads?
I'll tell you what, how long you got? It's, I'll tell you what, I was done up like a kipper. I really was.
Okay.
It was, yeah.
Well, we won't go into that now because we haven't got time. No.
Yeah, don't. We'll need another hour.
Should we just mention our next show? Our next show is obviously in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, it will be.
Which is what? The beginning of, we'll be into February, won't we? Crikey.
Well, I can't even remember the date today. Now.
And we've got, is it Linda Cloak who's joining us on the show? Is that a confirmed or not? I thought she wanted to come on that show to talk about a social media event that she's
got. You know
got.
What? I think you're right. Yeah. I'll talk to her later and confirm
all
that.
All right.
You're right. It is the 7th of
February.
4th of February.
4th of February.
February. Right.
Monday the 4th.
Yes.
Good.
And we will have a guest, and it could well be Linda Cloak.
Okay, good. Well, we'll get that organised. But in the meantime, thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and we'll see you shortly.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.